Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Mark Cerise, Joe Giglio in for Jar Marks today. And this week, alongside Ike Reese, Jack Fritz, we have 5 at 5 coming up here in just a minute. And of course, we're discussing the Sixers here after a game one loss to the Atlanta Hawks, where Trae Young goes crazy. Joel Embiid plays, has 39 points, looks good on offense, but it is not enough. Even with a great comeback, it is not enough here. Sixers lose. I'm worried. Ike is not. We'll get to everyone's phone calls this hour. And, of course, great sports nicknames with Allen Iverson's birthday. But what I hear when I'm driving in or I'm pulling into the garage is this 5 at 5 segment. When did this start? A couple months ago?
Yes.
I think it was HK's birthday because I played the 5 best Harry cuts.
Okay.
Or 5 best Harry calls.
Yeah.
And I was like, 5 o'clock. It's easy to remember. Top 5 at 5 sounds like a good segment.
You bumped into this.
Well, you have to deal with it every day.
Yeah. I mean, listen, most of it has been pretty good. Every once in a while, he has a terrible list.
Yeah.
Which makes the segment good because we just rip his list.
Yeah. You guys are pretty critical of his list. I've noticed that.
Oh, it's like the hardest grades I've ever gotten. Like, I thought high school was hard, but then I do a top 5 at 5 every day.
I can always feel through the radio Jack proud, and then Mark's like, yeah, that stunk. All right. So what do we have today, Jack? Top 5 at 5 is?
Set it up, Joe. I mean, come on. Was this your first day working on the show?
This is my first time doing this segment.
So what I'm going to do.
Got some slack.
We don't cut any slack on this show.
Wait till I grade this one.
Yeah. So what we're doing today is top 5 most overrated plays in Philly sports history.
Oh, God.
We'll see where one of them is because I'm going to start playing the audio highlights and seeing if you get them. All right.
It's going to make everyone mad.
Yes.
Here is number 5.
Driven to deep center field. Rowan back. Are you kidding me?
Oh, what a catch.
What a great, great, perhaps game-saving catch.
Wow.
Yeah, get out of here.
Overrated?
Dude, first off, Harry, love you. First inning catch at the wall is not a game-saving catch. It's a little dramatic.
The guy broke his face.
No, he broke his face, but like he only broke his face because the stadium wasn't set up correctly enough. It wasn't an unbelievable catch. He caught it and ran into the fence. Any normal center fielder tracks that down and is under it.
And what part of the season was it again? Early.
Like May.
Yeah, yeah. I do agree on that. It wasn't an impactful end of season pennant race October catch. It was early.
It was fine.
No, the best part, it was in the first inning.
It was the first inning, yeah. HK is like, that's a game-saving catch. How? Maybe for the current Phillies.
Don't disrespect
it's me, not disrespecting HK. It's just a little dramatic.
It's disrespecting Aaron Rowan is what it's doing.
Number 4.
I didn't know that
just
was
outside the Philadelphia 40. Vic, little pump fake. Now over the middle. Crumpler, what a throw, what a hit, what a catch. Algie Crumpler hung on after getting a vicious blow from Brian Dawkins.
Here's the key word of that. He hung on to it. Algie Crumpler hung on to the ball. And we talk about it.
Point?
It's like, oh, the Dawkins hit on Crumpler. Oh, laid him out, man. Brother. Yeah, he held on to the ball. If it's actually a great hit, at least break it up. Hey, Malcolm Jenkins took Brandon Cooks out of a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Algie Crumpler holds on to the ball. We're talking about how great of a play it is.
Wait a second. A little context on this. Algie Crumpler probably had Dawkins by, what, 35 pounds?
Way more than that. 50? I would say Dawk was 205.
Crumpler's 250 at least.
280.
He was like, that was the old school tight ends.
Yes.
They were kind of like offensive linemen playing tight end. That's why it's such a big moment there.
And it was the NFC Championship game. It wasn't May.
He caught it. He held on to it.
Good point.
I mean, like, it was a good hit, but we talk about it like the annals of history of, like, oh, the Dawkins hit on Crumpler. Crumpler held on to the ball.
Listen, get through this list fast.
Yeah, I agree on Rowan. I think you're towing the line on this.
You better get
Crumpler
through this
one.
List fast.
All right, here's number three.
Here it is. It is 4th and 26. Oh. McNabb is back. He's looking. He is firing, and it is caught by Freddie Mitchell. Short of a first. I don't know. Did he get it? Does he have a first down? He does. He does have a first down. He's across midfield, and he's into Packer territory at the 46.
First off, it's a bad spot. He was short.
Ripping the refs.
Yeah. Even I will admit that when he might have, that was a bad spot.
By about
half a yard.
I think the NFL is looking for some ratings.
I actually agree on this one.
What?
It's overrated.
Whoa. How is it overrated?
First of all, what are the Packers doing on that play? What is the Packers defense doing on that play? All these years later, I watch, I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of gave it to Donovan.
Sure they did. It was a bad defensive call from Ed Donatell, who I wind up playing for in Atlanta.
You ever talk to him in the meeting room about that? Like, hey, what are you doing?
What was your thought process? I mean, honestly, I thought Jim Schwartz was out there playing a little six defense.
That was terrible. It was a freaking playoff game. What are y'all, nuts?
Yeah, but the team didn't win this. Like, it was a second-round game.
Yeah, the divisional round, yes. the round that gets you to the conference championship.
At least it was more important than Aaron Rowan's
Yes, exactly. I'm not letting you get away with the 4th and 26. That's not overrated.
All right, number two.
Bothered by Rose. Iverson. How about that?
Over
Teron Lowe.
7 straight points by Iverson. Looked like he was dead in the water.
The Sixers by 4. 40 seconds left.
They lost series 4-1. I mean, like, great. Awesome. He hit a shot over Ty Lue. How about the rest of the series? I mean, come on.
No, I think we need some context.
Ty Lue had the highest plus minus of that entire game for the Lakers. Like, come on with the Iverson every year.
Can we get some context on this? That Laker team at one point won how many straight finals games? They beat the Pacers in 2000 in 6, I think, right? Yep. Then they beat the Sixers in 5.
Yep.
They beat the Nets in 4.
They swept the Nets, yeah. No, that game that the Sixers won was the only playoff game the Lakers lost that year.
Right, so that year they only lost to 1.
Yep.
And they won all those finals games over 3 years. Like, that was an all-time team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were an all-time team. I get it. But it's like we talk about this play like, oh, the linchpin to a finals run. They got swept after that. No, it's like, what are we doing? We doing parades for making the finals? Is that what we're doing?
How do you put this on the list? The man's birthday is today.
Right, I know. I do feel bad about doing it. But I thought about it yesterday while everyone was like, oh, 20 years ago today.
Oh, it was an incredible play.
It was an incredible play. But like, we're talking about it like, oh, it was a linchpin to them winning a finals. Like, they got blown out after that.
Well, you know what part of the problem is around here? There are not many teams win championships.
Exactly.
So to get excited, most of the time it's about something that's not a title. Like, that's the reality. As long as you're not ripping anything that led to a championship, as long as you're not doing that, I guess I understand the list.
And here's the number one most overrated play in Philly sports history.
We're going for it right here.
Philly, Philly?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Philly special. Ready?
Holds. And the gun.
Here we go.
Love it. To his right.
Tonight!
Now lines up behind Foles.
Kill!
Foles.
Lane!
Moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Reverses it. The pass goes into the end zone. And it is a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Very easily the number one most overrated play in Philly sports history. It was the first half. You know, again, like, if it was decide the game, I get it. But like, you're telling me that's the best play of all time? It was the first half.
They won by 1 score.
Yeah, they don't win without the Brandon Graham strip sack, the Ertz 4th down, the Ertz touchdown. I mean, like, it was the first half of the Super Bowl. Like, no play in the first half can possibly be considered, oh, that's one of the greatest plays in NFL history. Like, get over it. It was a cool play, but it was before the half.
This thing you have with Nick Foles, man.
That's what it is. It's personal. that's what I heard. I didn't hear. If that was a different quarterback running the play and catching the ball, I think it's not on the list.
No, there's no way it's on the list. And as a matter of fact, you've disrespected 2 Eagle great quarterbacks. You disrespect Donovan McNabb in his 4th and 26 play.
Yeah.
It's a great throw by 5. Great catch by Freddie.
I'm just surprised it wasn't in the dirt.
At least Knicks happened in the Super Bowl. I agree with Jack on Rowan. I agree with Jack on...
Well, that's the only one I agree with him on.
And I agree on 4th and 26. A little overrated. But the rest, I mean...
How you going to think?
AI, the guy's birthday.
Well, that's disrespectful.
And then Philly special.
He knows that's disrespectful.
Well, because it's like we talk about it, like it decided the game. And like, if the Brandon Graham strip sack was discussed in the same light as the Philly special, it would be fine. But we've turned the Philly special into like this game deciding play. Doug wanted to run a fullback dive. I mean, we all know that.
No, we don't know that.
It was sprint left, I think.
Sprint left.
That's Nick's play.
With Nick Foles, yeah.
You beat the Bears with it.
Listen, I get what you're trying to say.
Oh, here's the reality.
That we make the play as if it was the
winning play.
Deciding play of the game.
Well, really, the Ertz touchdown was...
And I get
and
it.
And the Brandon strip sack.
But you can't... You can't undersell the significance of that play. Going for it on fourth down in the first half, that was a mindset that they had in that game. That played right along with everything Doug had done all year long. And they executed it.
Let me ask you guys this. If they don't execute the play, let's say it's just whatever, Nick drops it, right? It doesn't work. Do they win the Super Bowl?
No.
I mean, then they would have left points on the board.
Yes. And they would have lost.
I don't think they would have won the game.
Because if you do that on fourth down, going into the locker room, and it doesn't work, that's deflating.
Well, especially if you play out the second half, the Patriots, because they couldn't stop him until the Brandon strip sack.
Yep.
I don't think they win the Super Bowl. So if you don't win the Super Bowl without the play, it can't be overrated. Are there?
I'm with you.
There's the top 5 at 5 with Jack Fritz.
He didn't disappoint.
Wow.
Another embarrassing top 5 he came up
with. Yeah, I knew Allen Iverson was going to be in there. I had a feeling after yesterday.
Now, that's really where you really overstep right there. It was a man's birthday, and we got a side topic based on his nickname.
Yeah, I know.
Do a top 5 overrated plays.
Right.
And he's number 2 on the list. You didn't even make him number 5. You made him number 2.
Well, because of the way it's talked about. I mean, all day on Twitter yesterday, but all this stuff he does.
I do appreciate Jack's commitment to the list, though. He didn't let anything get in the way. All right, the 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Buy any door or window and get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit GOGUIDA.com. 215-594-9494. For that's how you hop in here and discuss all this, including Jack's list.
Yeah, he managed to disrespect
Donovan.
HK.
Yeah.
Donovan.
He says it's not about HK, but...
No, but it was. HK, Donovan, Dalk, AI, and Nick Foles.
Yeah. Freddie Mitchell, too, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
okay. He managed to disrespect all those greats Philadelphia legends.
Yeah, I did. That's called a loaded top 5 of 5. Listen. It's just a good, honest, hard list. And some of the plays we talk about, I'm like, especially honestly, like the Dawkins hit might make me the most mad. Like he held on to the ball. I mean,
again, Crumpler had 75 pounds on him. We went over this.
I don't care.
Dennis is up next on WIP. What's up, Dennis?
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
What's up, Dennis?
Let's get you off speaker.
Dennis.
Okay. Working on it.
He said, "I'm working on it."
Hello.
Hello, Dennis.
Yeah, this kid, Trey Young, is going to kill their no-switch defense. He's exposing it like nobody else has done. And unless they fix that, unless they get out of that mode, this kid is going to continue to kill.
So, Dennis, you're worried. You're like me.
Absolutely. It's like they never saw him before. Mm.
Well, and they have. Obviously, they have. Sure. They've played against them. But you're right. There's something about yesterday. It's like the Hawks were a different team than they prepared for or saw or played during the season. And they got to wake up because tomorrow night, listen, you go down 0-2 at home, it's big trouble.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it's because they play a no-switch defense, works against a lot of players, a lot of teams. But this kid is the exact kind of kid that will pick that apart. You just see him dancing behind picks, wait for them to – do a double team they'd never practice, and find any open guy.
Well, see, here's one of the things I'm concerned with, Dennis. We do that, and you know what happens? Trey Young gets the ball out of his hands, but he's getting the ball out of his hands to open shooters. Mm-hmm. That's what happened yesterday. When they would trap with those shooters, Embiid is out there above the three-point line at times trying to trap Trae Young in the second half, and they can't get back to the other guy.
Well, then how about all those like easy alley-oops, dunks? John Collins is flying to the hoop.
So that's the problem. That's why coaches don't want to do that for an entire game, because eventually the guard does adjust to it. And as long as he's a guy who isn't trying to go one versus three and shoot the ball against that, if he's willing to give it up, if those guys keep knocking down shots, that beats the trap. Like, basically him giving it up and Herter or whomever knocking down an open three-pointer, Doc's going to say, you know what, we got to stop trapping him. Stay to your man.
And you want to hear old school? Triangle and two. May not have in the modern game much, but against this kid, it's what they wind up doing, except instead of having a three-triangle zone that might get to the shooters faster, they wind up with a power play, a three-on-four man-to-man. And they're just going to pass till they hit the guy you left open.
Yeah, well, I mean, they gotta think of something, because whatever they did in game one, obviously the first half didn't work. Dennis, give us a great sports nickname.
Rocky.
Rocky.
You got baseball, you got football, you got boxing, and you got Philadelphia's fantasy Rocky.
Yeah, there's a lot of Rockies over the years. Dennis, appreciate the phone call. But I think people always think of the fictional Rocky.
Yeah, that's who I thought of. I don't know any other Rocky.
Well, it was a baseball, Rocky Calavito.
Yeah, don't know Rocky Calavito.
Yeah, there have been some Rockies throughout sports. But, when the fictional guy takes over the conversation, it kind of throws it all off. Sutton in the Northeast. What's up, Sutton?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, Sutton. What's on your mind?
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not worried about this, about the Hawks. I think the Sixers, they just came out and slept on them like most people did, and now they got that wake-up call. Mm-hmm. Joel's going to give it his all. Game two is a must-win, but I'm not worried about it. Sixers and six.
That's the common phrase of the I'm not worried guy. Sixers and six.
Yeah, man.
So if they lose tomorrow, is it Sixers and seven, or do we hit the panic button?
Panic button.
Okay.
Yeah, they lose tomorrow. Believe me, we're all hitting the panic button.
Yeah, it'll be a city-wide panic. Yes. Sutton, who's your great sports nickname?
I'm going to go with the guy whose nickname is his first name, Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson. We were waiting on that one, and he came up a little bit. Sutton, we appreciate it. Yes, Magic Johnson is a great nickname. I can't believe Jack put the Philly Special at number one.
You're still not over that, are you?
I'm not.
It was in the first half.
I understand.
Like, that's
but it
what
was
I'm
a
saying.
Big
like,
play.
It didn't decide the game or anything. Like, it was a really cool looking play. But the way we talk about it, again, like, it's not that the play is overrated. It's just the way that Philly fans talk about it.
Well,
for example, in my opinion, it was the fourth most important play from that game. The Ertz fourth down, the Ertz touchdown, and the Brandon Graham strip sack were all more important to me. But the way we talk about the Philly Special, people think it's the number one most important play from that game. And I just don't think that.
Because strip sacks happen in every game. Slants to tight ends happen for touchdowns in every game, right?
We're talking about the importance of the play, right?
Yeah, listen, I understand where you're coming from, but this is you have to understand why people view the play the way that it's viewed. A, it was on fourth down. B, when you get the mic'd up version of it, it's pretty cool that the quarterback came over and kind of suggested it, and Doug is standing there like,
yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it, yeah. So that whole little moment goes into the lore of the play, and they executed it. Of all the fourth down plays that any of us could have imagined them running there, none of us imagined that play.
Well, and the part that's always
and
amazing.
And ran that play all year.
Right, and the part that's amazing is the stories that came out afterwards. It's like they had it in a little bit. They had it ready for the Vikings game, didn't use it. And then didn't they practice in the hotel before the game? Like, not even on the field. They practiced in a hotel. Like,
Doug was hiding. Doug was hiding plays from the cheater.
Boy, I got to be honest. Doug was on a hot streak that year.
Well, he was rolling.
I mean, like, literally everything he did was like, that's the right call, Doug. Good job, Doug. And then everything after that was like, what the heck is this guy doing?
Well, we don't talk enough because it was kind of the middle game. Like, that Vikings game, that Vikings defense was one of the best. I think they were the best third down defense in NFL history. A percentage. Like, they only get up like 25% of third downs. And then, like, Eagles just, they destroyed them.
Yeah. Now, listen, they,
you remember, flickers.
Well, Minnesota was coming off that
emotional win.
They were shot. Yeah, the Minneapolis Miracle.
Right.
But they were shot. I mean, and the defense got the pick six, and then the floodgates opened. Because remember, they came out, they opened and dry, they marched right down the field on us.
Who was the linebacker, the Eagles linebacker, who got torched? Was it Ellerby? Danelle Ellerby was in that team?
Yeah, he was on that team. He stole a ring.
Yeah, well, he didn't cover anybody in that first drive. That's how they scored. Yeah, I mean, that first drive.
Danelle Ellerby got here like somewhere late in the season. And,
yeah,
and
he was washed up. Yes. He was good in the Ravens like 5 years before. Yep. And then you like woke up and you're like, oh my goodness, they're in trouble. And then they just blew the doors off him. Like, when Doug got rolling with the plays, it was like, that might have
been. Well, Nick was rolling too.
He was unbelievable.
I mean, Nick was in his own.
Yeah, that's like when a shooter gets in his own and it's like, yeah, he's just not going to miss today.
Yeah, he was in his own. And when he hit the Alshon touchdown.
The flea flicker.
Was more or less, not that one, it's the flea flicker. Right. No, but I'm saying when he hit the flea flicker is when you're like, oh yeah, this boy's in his own.
It's over. And the game is over.
He dropped that right in there to Torrey Smith.
Unbelievable.
Dropped that in there.
Dan in the Northeast is up on WIP. What's up, Dan?
Hey, can you hear me?
Got you, Dan.
What's up, Dan?
Hey, first-time caller. I appreciate you guys taking my call. All I got to say about the Sixers, we need to calm down. Game one, you look at it statistically, the Hawks did everything perfect. There's no way they can do that again. But if they do lose game two, I am hitting the panic button as well. We can't lose two at home.
Well, they can't. I mean, that there's no question they cannot lose two in a row at home. But let me say this, Dan, because you said they did everything right. They did for the first three quarters. In the fourth quarter, like, they turned the ball over a bunch in the fourth quarter. They let the Sixers back in the game. Like, the reality is they were up by so much they could play a terrible quarter and still win. So they didn't do everything right.
Yeah.
Maybe not everything, but they probably had a game plan and it worked perfectly. And then I guess, you know, the players on the Sixers or maybe even Doc kind of figured it out and they started weaseling their way in there. So hopefully we can keep that same energy as soon as game two starts. That way we don't let them get off to a hot start and have to trail again and come back from trailing.
Yeah, let's not do that. Dan, who's your great sports nickname?
Has anyone said Ocho Cinco?
No. Ocho Cinco. Dan, appreciate the phone call. Chad Johnson. Yeah. What's he doing now?
Boxing.
How'd that work out for Chad?
Knocked out, yeah.
No. He got knocked down.
Okay, I didn't get knocked
out. Yeah, he got
knocked out.
Yeah. I didn't see the fight, and I heard up until that point, Chad had done okay in there.
What is Chad doing besides these out-of-nowhere boxing bouts? Anything?
Well, he's playing a lot of FIFA.
Yeah, he does. You know, all these guys have a podcast now. So
right.
He does a podcast with Brandon Marshall, Fred Taylor.
Okay.
And I forget that linebacker that played with the Miami Dolphins. You would know him if I remember.
So the stars of like 15 years ago are all doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Nothing else to do.
Nothing else to do. So, yeah, they do the little podcast. And, you know, Chad has other little odd things he does like this. A celebrity boxing match. This is where boxing is at now. I got Floyd Mayweather out there last night fighting in an exhibition, right? Who did he fight? Jake Paul or Logan Paul? Which one?
Logan Paul.
Logan
yeah.
Paul. Fighting one of the Paul brothers who turned into YouTube sensations. You know, which one knocked out Nate Robinson?
It was either Jake or Logan.
I think it was Jake that knocked out.
I think Jake knocked out.
I just hope Nate's okay. Nate took a spell.
Yeah, we haven't heard from Nate.
Yeah, I haven't heard from Nate since then. And Floyd, I'm not giving Floyd any more of my money.
Yeah.
Floyd's bored me for a lot of my money already.
Yes.
I'm done with that.
I'm definitely not doing an exhibition fight.
So Chad's boxing now.
Yeah, well, I mean, he jumped in and did this. I don't know if he's going to keep doing it.
Well, if people buy it, he'll do it.
Yeah.
That's the way all these guys are. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Are you worried about the Sixers? I am not. Ike is. Give us a great sports nickname. And how crazy is Jack for putting the Philly Special as the number one most overrated Philly sports play of all time? Like, that list started off, I thought it was going to be, I mean, it was pretty good. It was a good list, but.
No, when he started off, I knew it was going to get worse as he kept going.
I'm just upset. The Philly Special's number one. We'll talk about it. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.